As I was thinking of what I was going to be talking about today, and I thought back to something I questioned myself on and thought about over the last 6 months or so, and Bible in many spots describes people as having faith, being sanctified by their faith, and being set apart by their faith. And if you read stories and hear about persecuted Christians and the early Christians and just different people throughout history that have made a big difference in God's kingdom, we see over and over again that they had this great faith. And what I mean by faith was a faith to die for their beliefs and a faith to pray to God, confident of Him hearing their prayers and relying only on Him, and faith to share their beliefs at the price of ridicule and death for many of them. So that's just something that I've been thinking about, and I don't really think I have that faith. So what I want to look at today is why is that, and what are some things that could be holding us back from having that faith? And I think one of the things that makes it hard for us is we're living in a physical world. Everything around us is material. We're always bound to an extent by this world. We believe in what we see and make decisions based on past experience. So I think that can be part of it, but there's definitely more things that can get in the way of our having this faith. So let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, and this is the story of Naaman. He's a captain, a Syrian captain, and he was going to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. And he's not really someone who we think of as having a lot of faith. Actually, probably he's thought of as having less faith than a lot of people. He got pretty mad when he was told to go do something that he thought was below him, to be healed. But let's go ahead and read this. I think he dealt with a lot of things that we deal with when we're stepping out in faith. So we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we'll read a good bit of it starting at the beginning. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Syria, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper." Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away, and he turned one way in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. So Naaman left his country. He left his position as captain for the time being anyways, and he traveled all the way to Israel to be healed of a prophet. And when he got there, what was it that actually stopped him? It was his pride. And I think in the same way that can often be what gets in my way of doing something that I think I should be doing. Maybe something that takes a lot of faith. We don't want to do it because we don't want people to see us doing something that they might not think is logical. We don't want people looking at us critically for the decisions that we're making. And like Naaman with his position as captain, we don't want to step down from our positions to do something below us or to figuratively wash in the Jordan. So pride almost kept Naaman back. He had to humble himself to be healed. I thought it was interesting that he was willing to bring a huge gift to the prophet Elisha, but he wasn't willing to just dip in the river. There was obviously his pride was getting in the way of that. Another thing I noticed is that once he humbled himself, he was obedient to the prophet, and he completely obeyed the prophet's commands. I think if our will is getting in the way of God's will, I think it will diminish our faith. It's hard to pray to God in faith, knowing that we're not completely obeying his commands. And if we're not following his commandments, what are his promises to us? So Naaman obeyed the commands given to him. He didn't go wash in the river at home. He didn't dip 5 or 6 times in the Jordan instead of 7. I don't think God would have honored that. So I think faith and letting go of our will is inseparable. I was recently reading a book on George Mueller, and he started quite a few orphanages in Bristol, England, and there was a lot of homeless children on the streets at that time. And he started his first orphanage with just a few cents in his pocket, and there were many times where they're down to their last meal or they needed money to work on a building or something, and he had a policy against asking other people for help, and instead he would ask God. He said he wanted to know that God was in it, so he wouldn't tell other people about the needs. And every time he was supplied with everything he needed. He was a man of pretty incredible faith. Anyways, he wrote concerning prayer. He said, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people is generally just there. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. So I think making sure our will is out of the picture can really open us up to God's power and working in our life. I've been reading in 2 Corinthians recently, and let's just turn there, 2 Corinthians 4, starting verse 13. This is Paul encouraging the Corinthians in their faith. Chapter 4, verse 13 says, "We having the same spirit, faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I think if we can really wrap our minds around that last verse there, if we can really realize that the things that we see around us that give us security and that we are tempted to put our faith in and our trust in are actually temporal, but the things that we can't see are eternal, then that will be, that can really build our faith. So those were just some things that I wanted to share as an encouragement and building our faith and just trying to get rid of those things that are getting in our way of having that faith. Let's close with prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come here and worship you and be encouraged in your word. Lord, thank you so much for the rain that we have outside that's making things green, that is making things grow. I pray that you will work in each one of us that we could grow in our faith in you. Lord, I pray that we could put aside the things that get in our way, Lord, if it's disobedience or pride. Lord, help us to get our will out of the picture so that you can just show us your power and work in each of our lives. I pray that you'll bless the rest of this service here, and pray that we could each be strengthened and encouraged. Praise in Jesus' name.